This is so stupid.
You know, the game we play is freaking...
true.
All right. Bring that up just a little
yes.
bit. Thank you. Sorry, that one's a little tough. I don't know why I give it to
Boom.
My guess.
Perfect.
It's like, it has a tendency to just drift down over, yeah. Now you know. All right, let's get it started. Emma
Lovely.
Wellman, thank you so much for
thank
being
you for having me.
On my stupid podcast.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's truly a joy. We met so long ago.
Yeah.
School of Thought. Shout out
Stacia Patwell. Shout out Stacia Patwell.
I know.
That was how we met?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you did the program.
Sure did.
And I had seen you.
Sure did.
We both did.
Yeah. I mean, that is such like a, that's like a, one of those core, I have so many core, you know, you have certain memories that just like pierce through the clutter, pierce through the fog, like all the just like, I'll think of it as like the pot I smoked in high school and then like all just the, I don't know what static noise in my brain. I have a lot of like just little moments with her that just like
they stick with you.
They stick with you.
Yeah.
One of the very first ones I remember is like the first time I like consulted with her to see if to apply to be in her program. She like kind of like is looking at me and then she like looks in the background and she goes, "Okay, so you have Triscuits." And I was like, "Yes." And she was like, "Those are great." She was like, "Have you ever?" She was like, "But she's like, with me, like you can have whatever, but you we're gonna start paying attention to the serving sizes because we need to see how much like protein and." You know, everything is in it. And she was like, let's look at the serving size of Triscuits.
Like
and then as I'm reaching it, she's like, it's not going to be good. And I just remember like so many little things, just the way she talks, like really get into my head.
Oh, well, I worked for her when I was 27.
A baby.
Yeah. Well, and at that point in my life, I was like, I'm an adult.
Sure.
And so I remembered her talking to me and she goes, you're so young. You've got placenta on your face. And I literally like will never forget that because I was kind of offended because I was like,
what?
Because I was like her assistant and all my friends had like bigger jobs at that point in my life. So I was trying to prove to her, I was like, you know, I'm also like your marketing director.
Right.
And she was like, no,
don't forget you're CEO of marketing.
Literally, I was like, ugh! And then she was like, no, you've got placenta on your face. And I was like, damn. But in the moment, it's like that was a real compliment.
Absolutely.
And now that I'm getting older, I'm like, fuck.
Someone tell me I have freaking placenta on my face, please.
You're
like, I
want
to inject placenta into my face.
Exactly. And like, it just, that will like never leave my brain.
Absolutely. That is a good.
I recite that once a month.
Do I still have placenta
on
my face?
I'm like, it's going away.
Please, is the placenta back? Yeah. You're just like looking at her, hoping she says it again. Do I have anything on my face?
I miss
like,
her. No. I mean, we keep up with her.
I follow on Instagram. Yeah.
We do. I got to jump back into a class just to see.
I would love. I'd be really nervous to. I went back and forth with her a little bit when she came back, and I would like to back to the States. I'm gonna try to meet up with her in LA at some point. Mm. I would be really scared to do one of the classes because I don't think I could. I think I'm very far from where I was when I was doing those.
A lot of donkey kicks. So many donkey kicks.
I haven't done a donkey kick in years.
Yeah, what does your fitness look like these days?
Well, I'll tell you.
Please, because I was obviously doing a little scan again before the pod. And the photo of you with the cigarette in your mouth.
Appreciate
so
that.
Shredded.
Thank you so much.
A, it's the best photo ever because you're smoking and you're clearly very fit. And I just love the, you know,
I was going
juxtaposition.
For Fight Club.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you so much.
I just want to know, how did you do that?
I'll tell you how I did that. Please. And also for context, that was, I think, 2 years ago at this point.
Okay.
But I had that picture in mind when I it was the Brad Pitt Fight Club. I had that picture in mind when I was training. Mm. So there would be certain times where I'm like, I don't want to do this or I don't want to mark this down or whatever. And then I would think about that picture. So that was like
you
good.
Manifested.
I manifested. It felt like good fuel.
Mm-hmm.
That also now I got pneumonia. So I haven't really been in the gym for like a month.
Okay.
But let me tell you this. It's so much easier to maintain muscle than it is to build muscle because even though I'm a lot weaker now, I went to the gym for the first time in a month, 2 days ago, and I'm way weaker, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's almost like once you put yourself through that, I mean, I used to always be able to get in shape, but then not be able to maintain
it. That's my problem.
It's tough.
It's the waves of like, I work hard and then I get tired. I take a few days off. It becomes a long time off. I stop eating the protein.
Oh, the
next thing you know, I'm pissed, and then I go hard again, and then you get results, and then you feel good, and it's just like, it's like, when does it end? It's like, oh, when you die.
I think about that with everything in life.
I know.
Gary Goldman has this quote where he said, "The thing about life is, it's just every fucking day." There's something about reaching that destination too, where you're like, I got to get to this, and then it's a totally other mindset of like, how do I? Because there's something that's like much more like chaotic and stressful. So if you're someone that's like attracted to that, being like, I got to do this cut and this bulk, that then I could do, but then I couldn't do the, okay, like, what's my day-to-day in between the chaos, which is very symbolic for lots of things. It's like, what is your act? What's your, like, Tuesday? Like, you're just, like, your average day where you're, like, trying to orient yourself. That's what I always had a hard time with.
Yes.
In that specific shape, though, that was an example of getting in shape for something.
Right.
So then maintaining it 100% as, I don't know, definitely therapy help, because I had to, like, untangle my habits.
Okay.
But to actually get that shredded. You want me to tell you the exact honest way of it?
Please, I'm very curious. I mean, were you touring at the time as well? Because I couldn't fathom doing both.
Not extensively. I had like a 3 or 4 month break between stuff. Okay, so it was, I had a friend who I haven't talked to in a really long time. He's a trainer. Mm-hmm. And he knew that I had been in really good shape before and that I was not at the time. And he was like, he meant this like nicely. We were just like having like a walk and talk. And he was like, would you ever consider being like one of my clients? Like, I think we could get a great before picture and after picture.
And wait, this is also sparking to put a pin in this.
Please.
The whole reason I ever even reached out to Stacia was because of your before and after.
Really?
The photo of you in the orange shirt.
Oh, I'm so flattered. Yeah.
I remember you were kind of pissed that you were like, I don't really want that out there.
I told her, I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. And she was like, it's being of service. And I was like, all right, you're right. And I'm glad I did it.
I clicked consult. And then I made the connection that I actually knew her father because my coworker at my day job's best, she lives with this guy in a loft in Tribeca.
Yeah.
Rent stabilized. And his best friend is Stacia's dad.
Hold on.
I know.
Your coworker's father.
My coworker's family friend.
Bob, okay. Bob.
Best friends with Joe.
Crazy.
Stacia's dad.
That's wild.
And I had gone to dinner with all of them for Emily's birthday.
Was Stacia's dad there?
Yes.
So he's like a good friend.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, I had met him like a year before. I got on a call with Stacia and we started talking. I was like, pause.
I think I know your dad.
Yeah. Literally. I was like, I had dinner with your dad. And the only reason I'm talking right now is because of Emma Willman's before and after.
Wow.
The world is crazy small.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm so glad that I did put it out there then.
Thank you. Yeah.
Her program was really hard.
Yes.
But that's why, because when I did it, you like meet with her like twice a week too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That keeps you, I don't know if I could have done it if it wasn't over the pandemic too, because that was my first time learning about everything. But then what made her get through to me was I sincerely believe that she sincerely believes everything that she's saying. Like I sincerely believe that she sincerely believes that you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm like, even when I wouldn't see something budge or the scale wasn't moving, she would be like, nothing is made up here. If you do this, you will get this.
Yes.
Maybe not right now, maybe not tomorrow, but there is 100% no way it won't happen.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I want to be like, well, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm going to do. But then it's true.
No,
but you want to think that you're different and that it won't work for you.
I'll never forget. I was in LA because I was out there for a month working for her and she lifts my shirt up and she goes, because I was always complaining about my stomach.
Right.
She goes, that's just carbs and alcohol. And then, and I was like, no, like it's, you don't know me. Like,
right.
This is my body type.
Yeah, this is, there's a different, something has to be different about me that cannot be the same as others.
But then I cut out alcohol for a year and I was like, there it went.
I wonder how she knew that's what it was.
Because she's.
She knew.
She knew.
She knew.
I'll never forget her ripping my shirt and going, carbs and alcohol.
Wow.
It was so good. Wow. Anyway, so back to your before and after with your friend.
Yeah, so he said, you want to do before and after? And I was kind of, I feel like I was really frustrated with myself because I had gotten in that. I mean, when I had done the program with Stacia, that was probably like 3 or 4 years before that. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of like life, I just got out of it. I got out of the habit. I was binge eating. Like I just got off the cycle of it. So when he said that, I was like, all right. And I felt really frustrated with certain career stuff. So I was like, you know what? What's something that I can control? And I was like, I really want to pick up where I left off and like really learn about how all this stuff works. And then we just like, it was the working out and then the accountability. I don't know if I could do, I feel really lucky that I was able to do it with somebody. Cause I don't know if doing a recomp where you're losing weight and building muscle is so hard. It's so hard.
The amount of protein you have to shove into your face.
I think it can be easier now because of peptides. So I think if you want to, like I did a cycle of, I probably did it for like 10 months of tirzepatide, which is the active ingredient in one of them.
Yeah.
And that, I did that when I was actually trying to gain muscle.
Really?
And I feel like it made it so much easier because you're manipulating your appetite when you're doing that because you're eating in a surplus. Normally, if I'm eating in a surplus, I'm doing it. And then I'm like, oh, I got to get like fried chicken and waffles and it's not healthy stuff. So if you're eating a surplus with healthy stuff, that just like made it so I was able to do eat exactly what I wanted to eat when I wanted to eat it, and I like hunger wasn't really a part of that. Because Vyvanse has changed my appetite, but then Vyvanse would make me crash, and then I would like binge eat at night.
Totally. Are you still on the Vyvanse?
So I haven't been taking the Vyvanse.
Okay. Is that hard with your daily life?
I haven't been taking my Vyvanse or my Wellbutrin. I just started taking my Wellbutrin again.
Okay.
I stopped because of the pneumonia, and I was trying to give my body time to heal. But I saw my psychiatrist this morning, and I feel like it's never a good thing when you start your session with being like, I haven't been taking my pills. And I've had that with her before, and then she's just like,
yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I was trying to give myself as much rest.
Yes.
Do you take Vyvanse?
I take Adderall.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But like if I'm in an Excel doc at work, or if I just am like on my couch and I'm like, I have to clean my apartment, and there's nothing within me that will get me off.
I know.
Which I don't know if that's abuse of drugs, but.
Technically, if you have ADD.
Which I think we all do.
That the way that the society is now, it makes it so society. It's very hard for everybody's attention span, because our attention is like such a commodity. Everybody's trying to take our attention all the time.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's like a spectrum. Then some people are like real far in that spectrum.
Totally. I mean, I recently got dinner with a friend, and I had a Zen addiction, as you.
Right.
We
so no more Zen?
No more. But I was
thinking of starting.
Really?
Yeah.
So funny. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So at dinner, I told her, I go, yeah, I mean, I couldn't stop. And she was like, well, yeah, you have ADHD. You got to have some constant, like, and I was like, oh my God, I never
right.
even connected a nicotine addiction with something like ADHD, because I did need something and it would calm me down.
Mm.
Like the nicotine was just like this buzz that was like folk. I don't want to sell it because.
Totally.
But it is.
It can feel good, but then not be good.
Right.
And it is technically a nootropic, I think. I never got the concentration aspect from nicotine.
Really?
But I did find like a buzz element to it. Like it didn't make me concentrate, but it was soothing. So I like doing it.
Yeah.
And I used to love smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Which I can't believe. Now when I walk by people smoking, I hold my breath.
Really?
Yeah.
It's their smoke though.
Their smoke. Gross. It's their smoke. It's also now I'm so hyper aware of lung stuff.
Right.
Especially and not wanting to get sick all the time, and also I think I'm like obsessed with like metrics.
Yeah,
so there's a fine line.
You got your aura ring on.
Which aura I consider this is light.
Because you had the Whoop, right?
I had the Whoop.
I had the Whoop.
The Whoop, the Apple Watch, this, and I was wearing like an oxnometer thing I didn't even know how to use. Yeah.
What was the best?
I think the Whoop is the best, hands down.
Okay.
So this is fine.
Okay.
I'll check how I slept, whatever.
It's for sleeping, really.
It's for sleeping. And you know what? Since I've been sick for like the month with the pneumonia, every time I would check in, it would just be like, you're fucked. And that's not fun to liquid it every day, and then it's like a ripple effect.
Right.
But
anxiety provoking. That's what the Whoop would do for me. Like after.
You gotta take a break.
A glass of wine. I was like, "You're an idiot."
Even one glass. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you don't drink anymore, so but it was crazy to see.
So you just stopped wearing the Whoop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also
something's got to go.
What's funny to me is that I got the Whoop when I was running the New York City Marathon.
That's awesome.
I was like, running Whoop, I'm gonna get ripped.
Yep.
And then I proceeded to gain 20 pounds and looked the worst I've ever looked, felt the worst I've ever felt.
Even while you were training, because you're so hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like a troll, just like.
We are our own worst critic.
I know, but my mom was like, you better fix this. I love my mom. Shout out to my mom. She's the best person ever, but she was like, this ain't it.
Wow.
It was bad. Honestly, I can show you some photos. It's pretty brutal.
Hey,
I might have been like, look at this.
So much of it is how you feel, too.
I felt bad.
So when if someone tries to like be like, oh, no, it's like, hey, we're all projecting our own stuff then with that, and it's all that matters is how somebody feels.
Well, that's what my
Clearly, point. Something's not right.
I love that you use that word because I told my mom, I go, do you think I'm fat? She goes, no, but I think you feel it.
And I was like, good answer. Oh. Yeah, good answer.
She just threw it right back at me, and I was like, damn.
Because you can also be like lean and not feel strong, and that doesn't feel good either.
Yeah, true.
You can feel, you know what I mean? Like, so there's like, also now, the more I've been reading about health, like, you could have really healthy mitochondria and healthy body, but then your like ratios for like muscle and fat and all that stuff could be healthier than someone who's really lean looking. Like, there's all types of stuff going on.
Do you feel like you've gotten too far in the rabbit hole of health?
I would say, yeah. I would say I'm 100%. I would say 100% yes.
Okay.
Which then I feel like I saw this guy in, it doesn't matter where he is, but let's say it's a real alternative health type of place.
Yeah.
I was doing something called rectal ozone. So they take this little, I don't even know what they do, but it goes in the butt.
Okay.
They do ear ozone, rectal ozone. I was trying to do it for my gut. And right after we like did a session, okay, he like put this like thing on my head, and then he was like, this is sound therapy. I'm going to give you a preview. One session is like $100, but I'll give you the preview for free. And I was like, okay. So I'm sitting there with this like bowl in my head, and he just whaps it. I'm like, dong. And he's like, it clears your mind. And I was like, ah! It clears your mind because someone just put a giant bowl in your head and smacked it. So I'm like, dong.
I'm like, they do that to horses.
They do that to, do they really?
Yeah, they my dad said one time he watched, he was in Wyoming and they took a dead log against a horse's face because they were trying to tame it. I've never seen a horse come to, and the horse just stopped.
Yeah, because someone hit you with a log or donged something in your head. So you're like, duh. And he's like, it's a reset. And I was like, okay, I got to start. Because probably if he'd phrased it differently, I would have been like, oh, I need that. But then because I got the little sample, I was like, I need to really like think about. It's like you just like want to believe.
Picture you being hit in the head.
He held back. I don't think he liked gay people. I think he was like, fucking gay people. And this was his chance to just hit one with immunity. And I was like, He also said.
It hurts.
The sound was so loud that it like. It felt like a factory reset. He also said he did this thing where I held these two things and it like did a wavelength check and all that. And he goes, two things. He's like, first thing, he's like, you do have some type of inflammation. He's like, so I'm getting a reading because I was like getting in.
That's going to freak you out though.
And then he said, two, you're a hypochondriac.
Well, yeah.
So you could tell that too. But I don't think I'm sick all the, but this is the thing. I really did get sick. I really did get pneumonia.
You probably, because he said that to
no.
you. Your body was like, oh, I'll show you fucking I had, hypochondria.
Because all my metrics were saying something's kind of wrong. Because my HRV was really low, heart rate variability that tests your nervous system.
Yeah.
So I tried all types of stuff to like fix that. I got something called a Seligagnon block.
What the fuck is that?
They put anesthesia into your neck and it shuts down your nervous system for 30 seconds.
What if it got into the wrong vein?
You would have a big problem.
That's what freaks me out.
I know.
Bad.
I know.
I heard that if you take Botox on a plane and it explodes, everyone dies.
Are you serious?
My friend told me that. I gotta Google it, but I got too scared because I put it in my forehead.
You
but
mean
it
like
freezes your muscles? So if it got into your lungs or anywhere else, like you're dead.
Like if I brought a vial of Botox or Botox was because I've flown a lot with a lot of Botox in my face.
Really? Oh, in your face? No, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But like she was like something about the vial and if it explodes and it's like in the air or in the
I had
water
no idea.
If you drank it, like dead.
Damn.
Right, because it freezes. It was like if it got anywhere.
Oh,
else,
I see.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I gotta look into that before I start spewing that.
I won't try to bring it on a plane at any time. I would never do Botox in my face.
Sorry, I didn't mean to double down on the hypochondria comment.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
My therapist and girlfriend think that they think I'm like really neurotic. I don't know why I'm so neurotic and obsessed with health stuff. I think it's because I never used to take care of myself. But something happens between the age of, I just turned 40, so 35 and 40, something happens where you go, oh, shit.
I'm scared. Yeah, yeah.
You totally, know what I'm saying?
Totally, yeah. But you look, does it help that you feel
thank
look
you.
Amazing? Or do you think it's because of all the efforts?
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind.
You're like, I'll show you aging.
I know I look younger now than I did. But a lot of that is maybe like, from Botox and fillers. But I know the skin elasticity stuff. I know it's from all the stuff that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like it's getting a little bit like, I feel like the scale tipped a little bit. Like, I don't want to be like Bubble Boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where I get like, because I also used to not be, I'm not very like hygienic. Like, I like to eat with my hands. I used to not wash my hands very much.
Totally.
So then now I'm trying to be like much more like cautious of that. But it's when you get these, I call it the judgment jewelry. Uh-huh. When you get the judgment jewelry, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm just going to see how I slept. I'll see how my brain is. Oh, judgment what's this?
Jewelry.
What's that?
That's funny.
Judgment jewelry. And then the next thing you know, if you're not, I can only speak for myself, I'll start getting like obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So I have to like have breaks with it, but I do feel like it's like another way, as an addicty person, it's another way to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like drinking feels good. So does Red Light.
Do you think it's a control thing at the end of the day if you were to cull it down to its core?
It could be. The only problem is it doesn't work cause I can't control. You know what I mean?
It's true.
But I guess I couldn't control drinking either.
Yeah.
The other problem with the health and wellness stuff is like it's a lot of the stuff is like basically with any of it, it's just like how much are you willing to spend?
Right.
So it's expensive.
That's another Stacia. She's like, you don't age if you got money.
It's true. Because the more that I've learned about it and these treatments, when you start getting into this stuff where it's like stem cell therapy, and a lot of this is like not, you know, that this is where it gets you too, because it's like, okay, it's not FDA approved. And then sometimes it's like, wow, you know, they're all in cahoots and they're making money off of you being sick. But also it's like they also are the people, you also do need to trust them about stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when I was in the hospital for pneumonia.
You went to the hospital?
I had to go to the hospital for 4 days. Oh, it's okay. I'm so lucky that I got sick enough that I my body reacted that I had to go into the hospital.
I'm so sorry. You were on an IV?
IV.
Yeah.
So I'm 4 days.
When did that happen?
3 nights and 4 days, January 3rd.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm so glad I got that sick and was able to go and get the antibiotics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you had asked me like 3 weeks before that about antibiotics, I would have been like, wow, you know, they really, they over.
Kills the good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there I am, like plugged in, beep, beep, beep. And I've got, like, I had two IVs in me and I'm in the bed and they're like, what supplements do you take? And I'm like, well, you're familiar with peptides. And Lexi's like, oh, my girlfriend's like, oh, God. And then I had rented this thing for my 40th birthday as a present to myself. It's called a Nano VI. And it's like you like breathe it in through your nose and it's supposed to help with oxidative stress.
Okay.
So I rented it. Now, I wasn't cleaning out the thing where the water is. And I don't even remember if it said it in the directions. I didn't read the directions. This is on me.
Totally.
But because I wasn't cleaning out, they were like, have you been inhaling anything? This is – the pneumonia was something I had inhaled. And they're like, have you been inhaling anything recently? And I was like, yeah.
Don't you hate when you try to fix something?
I was trying to be healthy.
Something? I do that all the time.
It's like if I had just stayed neutral, there would be less problems. I think that about that all. I swear to God, me just staying in the house would be better for me. See, this is why I got to not be leaving the house because there's always a problem. Like me trying to go, oh, I'm going to go be healthy. I'm going to rent this thing for my 40th birthday. I rented it for 2 months, returned it early after I woke up coughing up blood. But it's like.
Did you warn them? Were you like, hey, by the way.
So I was like, hey,
you
I just want
to killed me.
I think I was like, I wasn't clean because I wasn't cleaning it out, though, because they could have been like, yeah, you got
to clean it. But the person
that
gave it to you could be like, by the way.
It probably was in the instructions.
Make an Instagram story. Hey, by the way.
I think that we didn't say it, but it was like, here's the instructions. And I was like, got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like, I'm.
She was smart. So nice. When I was like, I got pneumonia, she was like, oh, my God. And she was like, I've never heard of this from one of these before. So maybe it was something else, too.
Could have been the New York City air.
Could have been the New York City air. Yeah. Could have been a steam room.
The way this dust just. I don't know where it comes from.
Where does it come from?
I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. It just appears.
It just appears.
Piles, and I'm like, where did
it's
you?
It's a lot.
When they say dust is like dead skin, which really fucks me up.
Really?
Like 90% dead skin.
Ew.
But I'm like, there's no way. I'm one person.
But think of all the people here. That's a lot of skin.
Yeah, but how would it, I just.
How's it get in here?
That's why I can't think about things too much.
Yes.
Because then what if there's mold?
Right.
What if there's some sort of pigeon poop on my AC unit?
Exactly. It's like, oh, whole new type of AIDS.
Exactly. I tap out. I tap out because when you move here, you got to just give up some control.
Yes.
In general.
I mean, we're at the whim of the elements. Totally. I know the air here is different from like in Maine.
I mean, I used to run the Williamsburg Bridge
daily. Wow.
And I'm like, I'm just huffing the below.
Yes.
Huffing it. Like not truly. Even casually breathing. I'm like,
yeah.
Getting it in truck deep.
I know.
Below me, I'm,
I know.
Yeah. So I'm like, what am I? I'm going for running.
So you stopped running because of that?
No, I just stopped running because of the marathon. I was like, I did it.
You overdid it.
I did running.
How many miles is a marathon?
26.2.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
I don't think people should do it.
That's really far.
Too far.
I think gun to my head, God forbid. That's a horrible analogy in today's day and age. I take it back. I think hard push come to really hard shove, aggressive shove from a rugby player who's like out to get a rugby player and a bunch of Red Bull out to get me shove. I could probably run 15 miles, but it would be like someone would be like, hey, okay, I'm going to shove your niece next. And maybe I could do 20.
I think you'd be you'd be shocked what you can do. You'd be shocked. I never thought I could run a marathon. Wasn't that bad.
I was even
I
in
slow. I mean, it wasn't.
What was the minute for the mile?
Like 11.
Okay, not bad, not awful.
Not something I want to put on display.
Right.
Like I did it, but I'm like, no one needs to know.
Did you have a good cohort? Or like, were there a bunch of people running with you at that same time?
It was good. Yeah, yeah. I picked a good group. No, it wasn't like the sad people walking
right,
in the back.
Right, right.
I felt good about it all, but like it wasn't anything I want to, you know.
Totally.
Like when people ask, like, how'd it go? I was like, good.
Great.
Don't ask about my time. 5 hours and 4 minutes. Not something you want to put on a billboard.
That you ran for 5 hours.
That's what's crazy about it too. Yeah.
You know what's also crazy about that? That you did that running, but then I'll think of like how much TV, like when I watch a Netflix show, that's like 12 hours right there.
Yeah.
So I'll zip through one of those. Like I just watched Tell Me Lies. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I watched the first season.
Oh,
it's a lot of hours.
Going back.
Yeah. I watched first season.
Dark.
And I watched it all in like, I'd say 2 sittings.
It's good.
It's good.
Do you feel guilty though? I feel like as a comedian as well, like I'm like, I should be editing videos or like,
oh,
I should.
Yeah.
And then I rot and then I'm so happy in the rot. And then I come out of it and I'm like, you're a loser. loser.
And the only way I like to rot is when I'm mad at myself for it should be doing something else.
Yeah.
If I'm like, I need to be doing something, and then I get overwhelmed.
I get overwhelmed.
And then I'll be like, all right, and then I'll just watch something to check out, and then I do it. But the only tension that keeps me really enjoying the show is if I really feel like I should be doing something else. Because if I, say I edited the videos, and I was like, watch whatever you want, I'd be like, I don't fucking want to watch something.
Yeah, I
want
to do something, productive again.
The thing relies on me feeling
being
guilty.
Bad.
But that, I think, is probably like a lot of people watching stuff. Or I don't know, some people maybe really just sit down and enjoy their show for an hour and that's it. I don't know, that's not me.
Yeah, we're too not successful and driven, obviously.
And I bet I watch so much more TV than any of those people.
Yeah.
Because I anxious watch.
Yeah, yeah. Those are good.
Anxious.
I mean, that show's dark.
And I watch it on, I fast forward a show. Do you ever do that?
No.
When I watch
it. My mom does that.
I do it like every 30 seconds to try to get the plot points.
Do you read books?
Used to.
I was gonna say,
I can.
If you're fast running through TV shows, I can't picture you reading a book.
I used to, and I got a Kindle, and I was trying to, but it's been a minute. That's fair.
I've been starting just because I've been trying to feel.
It's
like,
good for your brain.
Myself,
absolutely.
But yeah,
and it's also doing like little like esteemable acts to then like feel better.
I leave my phone in my living room when I go.
Good
to
for
bed.
You.
Not to brag.
I actually have been doing that a little bit
Amazing.
Too. The having like a tracking device, so the next morning the first thing I want to do is check it. So then, which is so ironic because they tell you like not to be on the phone first thing.
Right.
But I can't check how I slept from looking at the sun.
Right.
I have to look at my phone.
Or by feeling how you feel.
Get out of here.
Please.
What is this?
What is it?
1998?
Exactly.
No.
That's what I did love about the Whoop. You wake up and you're like,
how'd I do?
It's like an adult report card.
It's so, it really is.
Credit scores and then your sleep score and you're like, am I doing well?
But then when it says you didn't do well, you're like, oh, I thought I did well.
I'm
and
a
then
fucking loser. And then you're like, should I stay in all day because I have no energy?
Right. My energy is zapped.
And then
I can't.
Your brain is like too connected to that data.
It is. Yeah. And I don't know if we should have access to all of that stuff like all the time.
Totally. Also, like the whole Bluetooth is bad for you. It's like, well, I actually had like a divot in my wrist
from
my
iWatch.
Whoop.
Oh, yeah, from the Whoop. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like this had it was like smelly too.
Damn.
I was like, I'm rotting
from the Whoop. Sometimes I would see other people with Whoops and I would give them a little smile. And I'd say that community is not a real head nodding community.
The Whoop nod?
No.
You try to make it a thing.
I'd see it and I'd be like, and they'd just be like, my data doesn't care about head nodding.
So good. Yeah, I agree. It's like a bear tracker too. It's too thick. It's too like, it's just like, ugh, I know.
It also gets you into this like, things are so divided on the health front because you've got, on one hand, you've got people tracking their metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, people are just like absolutely like out to sea with no idea of that. They're just like, there's like pollutants and everything. And I mean, and maybe those people are happier. Maybe they're less stressed.
I think you got it.
You know what I mean?
My friend had this app called the Yuka app. Have you heard of it?
Don't yeah.
touch it. Don't
think
touch
I had
it.
You scan
Don't
stuff and see how
it.
Much chemicals are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's so bad because
it's not good.
Because my Crest toothpaste that I
Bad.
Use every day since I've been in sixth grade.
Satanic.
You scan Satan's it and
come.
It's like red zone.
Damn it.
Poison. Cancer.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm not going to stop because this is what makes my mouth feel clean. And my friend Chelly, who told me about the app, was like, oh yeah, the only thing that works is that doesn't come up red is David's toothpaste. And I tried it.
That's
and
pretty
it was
good.
Like, it was like using
Didn't
like
it.
glue. I was like, there's no minty aftertaste. It is like this. I was like, I'd rather die.
There's no fluoride.
I'd rather die.
A lot of the things that you have to do to then make it so you like, quote unquote, like live longer than make it be like, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
I'd rather like save those years.
I'll call it at 85.
85 would be great.
Amazing.
I have no problem with 85.
I don't know how much farther I want
to
get.
Although I do think about this. Imagine you get to 85. All expectations are off. There's no pressure on you. You don't have to think about, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. All you have to do is just sit. Then you get 100% clearance to watch TV all day, every day.
That's true. But what if you didn't hit your goals?
I think about that, but there's nothing you can do about it then. You're done.
Or you become TikTok famous like that old lady.
At 85?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a whole other. Because I picture just being 85, driving around in a golf cart, but then someone was like, my step-grandmother's probably, I would say, like 86, 87.
Okay.
And
young.
She's pretty, she's like she's got a new boyfriend. She's really funny. She's a character. I told her that Lexi and I went to a consult with a doctor for something for Lexi. Uh-huh. And the doctor, one of the doctors was like really, it was this like young guy and he was like really flirty. We couldn't believe it.
With Lexi.
With Lexi, yeah. Damn. And also like we went in, she was consulting about something like a, not a cosmetic surgery. Like it was like some, and we were, it was something with allergies and like we couldn't, we like couldn't believe that this, I was like, is that doctor hating on her? And he totally, like, we both left there and was like, that was crazy. And her sister was like, that's why you shop around for doctors. Like it was like, wild. But I told my step grandmother that and she was like, I would love it if somebody, if a doctor hit on me, she'd be like, you'll get to the age where that's just so flattering. And I was like, oh, you're right, Nancy. I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that.
She almost just gaslit you, like your feelings aren't valid.
Yeah. Because
think of it from my perspective.
She was like, I would love to be hit on by a doctor.
I mean, I used to have a joke where I'd be like, I love being catcalled because one day someone's going to look at my ass and go, ew.
Right? Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have
to soak it in while you can, I guess.
It's get the compliment. I haven't been catcalled in 25 years.
I can't remember the last time.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Also, now they know not to do that.
Right.
So now they're like, hey, I bet you've got a great personality or totally. Whatever.
I do remember one time I was all self-conscious to go for a run in New York was when I first moved here back in 2016. And I went to leave my apartment for the first time. I had just moved in and I look out on the street and there's just people everywhere. And sure. I just wasn't used to that. And I had my running gear on and like no makeup. And I was like, oh my God, hundreds of people are going to see me like this. So I actually walked back into my apartment.
I get it.
And then I stood there and I was like, what are you doing? Go outside. So I go outside and this homeless man with no legs goes, you're beautiful. And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
Like, you don't know
how much I needed that.
Yeah, it made my day.
I get that totally. Yeah. I felt that where I had to have a moment with myself of being like, stop caring what strangers think where – after with the pneumonia, I was supposed to wear, my doctor was like, the first couple times you go to the gym, wear a mask. Just if you're around people and they're breathing and you're getting, and someone's sick or whatever. And so I was like wearing a mask at the gym. And I was like, but then I had to think like, I wouldn't care if I saw someone else wearing a mask and it's strangers. So I did it and it actually felt kind of freeing. Because I was like, I already feel like I maybe look a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then I'm wearing the mask. But then I was like, who gives a fuck?
Totally.
Who cares? But there is that moment of being like, but then you're like, I don't know these people. And if I did, I would judge someone for judging someone on that.
Right. Exactly. It's like, you don't know that I was just in a hospital.
Totally.
You could write it on the mask. Like I was literally.
I thought about it. I did think about it. Recovering from pneumonia. I did think about it. But then I was like, no, there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask.
You don't deserve my reason.
You don't need to. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, I wasn't even like I was one of those people. Mask wearing like over COVID, I had to remember. I'd be one of those people that would like I didn't hear what you said, and I'd like pull my mask down to like listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like not great with it. You know when someone was like, why'd they have to do those videos on who had to wash your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Me. Yeah. I didn't know. I wasn't doing it right.
The happy birthday twice is crazy. I maybe make it through like the first few lines.
Only now do I do it, but yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah. And then getting in here,
I used to not do that.
Yeah, no, I would never get in here.
Never,
before.
Never.
Yeah.
This never saw the. This never. I never stretched
wings
out like this before.
Too, yeah, you're like, what gets in there?
Never.
Yeah,
never did it. I think if there was anything that when I look back on that when I did that photo, the trainer had said try to find a picture that you want to emulate, and it'll be like 4 or 5 months in where you'll be getting frustrated, and then like think about that, and then give yourself another couple months, and not giving it's myself too short. Yeah, I gave myself a long time.
Oh, it took like a year.
Probably took like 8 months, I would say. So when we did Stacia's, when I did it, I think it was like 2 months. But the reason that worked really well then was because I didn't know that I could do it, so I needed to see like results quicker.
Totally.
And so she'll get you those results.
She will, yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God. So like that planted a seed like, oh, okay. I'd say like working with her like taught me what things were and then also that like I could do it.
Mm-hmm. My ass got fat. That was exciting. It was good.
Yeah.
Good fat.
Totally.
Yeah. But
oh, I haven't done a glute bridge in 2 years.
What's your typical workout now?
So now I go in. For a while, I was really – I, like, taught myself about, like, progressive overload and, like, how to make a plan for
myself.
You're
a trainer, essentially.
So you want to have it so you're sending signals to your body that you need your muscle. So you need to be – you need to be, like, putting the muscle under enough stress that it thinks that it needs more muscle. And then you need to be giving it the tools to then build that. So you need to be – you need to – you know when they're like, okay, have it within one rep or two reps of failure? You don't want to do that every single time. You're going to be having too much fatigue. But you want it to be, like, each time just a little bit more so it's sending messages to your body. Like, Tori, we don't have the resources. Yeah. Like, we had a third person here and they needed another mic. Well, we don't need another mic. Go out. Now we got to go out and get the mic. And what are the things we need to do that? We got to get some cash. We got to get some this. Got to get some that. We need to be sending those same things to the body. And then if you don't have enough protein, protein or you don't sleep. That's when the muscle actually builds. Like, you need all of these things. I tried to make it so I, like, would do progressive overload, like, every, like, I'd say I'd give myself, like, 8 weeks. Nothing short. Because anytime you try to do something in a short amount of time, it ends up taking a really long time.
Because then you just get upset. And
you get upset. Yeah. And it's hard. You got to give your body a minute.
Yeah.
Got to give your body a minute.
It's kind of like comedy where you're like, yes. I'm going to get this and this. And then you get. Yes. Like, I'm at the stage, I call it the ugly middle, where it's like I'm 6 years in. I've done, like, I was so lucky to tour with Troy.
Right.
You know, only 3 years in. And it's like we hit 30 cities together. And it's like.
Right.
I think I got that a little too early.
You got such a rush.
And he sold out everything.
Yeah, that'll mess you up.
It fucked
you go, oh my
up.
God, the road's great.
The road's amazing.
Then you go on tour with some other people, no names, and you go, wait a minute, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yes, it's brutal.
It's really
brutal.
Yeah, and it's like, you know you can do this in these rooms.
Right.
And then you have to kind of climb back down the ladder and then rebuild back up. But also you're watching everyone around you blow up online and you're like.
In your head.
Why am I not blowing up online?
But what we think is happening online is we have no idea, too. Because also someone could be doing this. It doesn't necessarily mean they're selling tickets or someone could. We have no. It's a really hard thing to gauge.
It is. And, you know, it's like I'm not thinking about quitting because it's like I'd rather die. But it's also like it feels like the universe is kind of like, hey, pause.
Sure.
It's like I'm fighting and they're like holding my forehead down. And I'm like, no.
What would happen if you stopped fighting? Do you think you just are you afraid?
I don't know. That's a great question because it's like. This doesn't feel like I'm fighting, but it's like posting online.
Sure.
And like this is all part of the bigger picture.
Right.
And I love this. I genuinely love this, but it's also kind of like, for what?
You know, totally.
Like, what's the net? Like, where is this getting you?
I feel like the farther you get into things, the more like mercurial and ambiguous things get. Because when you first start with anything, you're like, with fitness even, you're like, when you very first start, you're very first starting. They call it new beginnings. Like really first starting. Like oh, you're gonna like get muscle and like lose weight quickly.
Yeah.
Very in the beginning, and then it's like as you get like more into it, each thing becomes more and more dialed in, and it can become harder to visually see. So it's like finding signs of life that aren't just like immediate. Like oh yeah, that's a check. But it does get like yeah, life gets like very gray.
Gray.
Where you're like what. Especially if you're not in a, I feel like if you're in a place where it's like some place like New York, like there's so many different places where people are at. Like I think I was thinking about this with like friends in your 40s. Like when we were in high school, we were all kind of in the same spot.
Right.
College, pretty similar too.
Yeah.
It's like we have like similar reference points, similar for like lots of things. But now you could have someone just getting married. Someone could be on their fifth marriage. Someone could be like not even thinking about it. Like people are in such, like the person that was like, a total fuck up could be the most successful person you know, and then vice versa. Yeah. Like, there's no common thread for where everybody's at.
It's crazy. I mean, I'm not that with all my high school friends. It's like I've got a friend with 2 children,
right?
And it's like she has a whole life, a
whole
family.
Life.
And it's like I'm here single.
She's probably cooking dinner right now.
Probably making sourdough.
Right.
She makes a mean sourdough.
I love sourdough.
It's so good, and it's like it's just so funny because you can't compare.
Right.
But you're also like, it's like the typical societal like. White picket fence, marriage, family. It's like, oh, you're doing it. Where it's like, I look around, I'm like, again, I love like my life, but it's also kind of like, technically, I have nothing.
Technically.
Technically.
You wanted to get to technicality. Yeah. Let's not get into technical. I know what you mean.
Yeah, like no home, no husband, no child. It's like, according to like the building blocks of the society that we were given by our grandparents, it's like, I am failing.
But then someone could see it and be like, oh my God, like my fuck, I don't, she doesn't have to deal with like
totally.
This and then that.
No, and I
like,
feel so lucky
right.
and free, but it's just, to your point, it's like, when you have so many avenues to go in, and that's like comedy too, where it's like, what do you want out of
right.
this?
Oh man, because yeah, when people used to ask that, I would always be like, I want a sitcom, and that would be like my goal, but then these things start to kind of like evaporate, or you like check something off, and it's not what you thought it was, and then it becomes much, like I used to also be so fueled by like anger. Like I'd be like, I gotta get this. And I feel much less angry. So then it's like harder to tap into like what's the fuel there.
Totally. Well, I was gonna ask you because you were saying when you're, you know, 85 and on your golf cart,
yes.
letting your life be what it was or what it is. What is the thing in your fantasy world of like, oh, I did that?
So that I haven't thought about in terms of what I did.
Okay.
I'll think of it because that probably, oh God. I don't know. Now I don't know. Because
okay.
if I say like one specific career thing, then I'll get like so like hung up on that.
Okay.
But I really hope I'll be like, I hope that I didn't waste it away scrolling the internet. That would be the biggest devastation if I like look down and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't looked up in 52 years. And I've just been watching Unusual Animal Friendships this whole time. Totally. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I can't recall one. Yeah. That would be, then I drive that golf cart right into another golf cart and say, really, you hit me, and try to get insurance from it. But
it's kind of beautiful, though. You know? That's a really good point. I do think we spend so much of our lives watching other lives. And yes. It's the saddest thing to watch someone on vacation scroll on their phone.
Oh, my God. I've been that person on vacation.
And same.
I've looked up and then looked over and go, oh, my God, yeah, we're all on our phones. Right.
Yeah. And but, I mean, you've done so much.
Appreciate it.
To clarify, like, you are one of my favorite comedians appreciate of all time. It. Genuinely,
thank you.
I feel just like lucky to know you and be friends with you, and appreciate not to be corny, but for a second. And yeah, I mean, your jokes are so funny.
Thank you.
Just your style and everything you do. Actually, this is funny to me. I asked ChatGPT, what's something that people don't know about you?
Oh boy, I can't imagine.
I'm actually really curious.
It's probably like I'm on a fuck another chat with this bitch about for the 15th time about vitamins.
I thought the answer was really interesting. I wanted to see what you thought it said, and then I'll let you know.
What it thinks some people wouldn't know about me?
Yeah.
Maybe my age.
Okay.
What does it say?
It says a lot of people don't realize how disciplined and athletic Emma actually is. Because her comedy is loose, sexual, and controversial, some people assume she's chaotic offstage, but she's actually very structured, works out seriously, and treats comedy much more like a craft and a job than a vibe.
That's really funny because I can say that I'm disciplined. This is one thing I've noticed with working out. If you can dial that in, people do assume you're disciplined in all areas of your life. I, for one, am not. Mm-hmm. So I am consistent with that.
Yeah.
But I also feel like freedom with it in a way that I haven't, like, in my entire life too, because now I kind of have like a range for like how much I can kind of like eyeball stuff.
You're
too.
Not fighting.
I'm not fighting, or okay. I'm not doing the thing where I used to always be like starting every day, like, oh, I'm starting over this. I'm starting over today. Tomorrow I start.
Do you think
so? I'm not doing that.
Trizepatides help.
So that was great when I really did have a great experience with that. The only reason I didn't continue it was it did cause me like some stomach stuff, but I'm like such a proponent of it. Like it can be like, if you can swing it financially, I think then it's a great resource.
It's a good tool. Yeah,
it's a great tool.
I used it after the marathon.
I think it can really help.
Totally.
And it cuts down on food noise and like everything. It can re-help you like and it made it so like it, like I feel like it really like bought me time between after like doing the like the cuts and the work. It was like so hard when you're also hungry.
Being hungry is
terrible.
Maybe the worst.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the more like you're battling with your hormones. So I think that it can be like a real like aid too. So I had a very, very good experience with it. But it can in some people cause some stomach problems. And I already have stomach problems, so I had to give it a little bit of a pause. But I really liked it.
I mean, I heard a doctor on a podcast talk about how there's something called like stone stomach because it slows your digestion.
I heard about that too.
I'm sure you have.
I didn't have that problem.
No, but that's my fear with it long term. Like if people like ever knock it ever off, like if they just are on it for their whole lives, like your stomach does slowly learn like it doesn't have to digest.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Interesting.
That's kind of terrifying.
I wonder how much you'd have to be on. And it's been around for like a long time. So I don't know.
That's what makes me feel better.
Yeah.
During the early stages of it, I was like, am I going to die in like a cloud of dust?
Right. Am I going to grow a horn or something?
Like something happened to me. Right. Like with the COVID vaccine, I was like, what if we all just explode one day? I'm not anti-vax. I took the vax. But like you have these, you know, gnarly little thoughts.
I always had those too. And then now what made me be like, and I think it's good to question. Yeah. Because also the same people, it's like everyone, the same people that sell you like food also sell like coffins, like literally. So you're like, wait a minute.
Right. Yeah.
But I became, because I got the flu vaccine this year, because I got the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine this year, then when I did get pneumonia, it made it so much
better.
Yeah. Because I could have gotten the worst flu or, but I have like a pre-existing lung thing. So like if I had had all that, and now I'm going to get the pneumonia vaccine the second I can get it.
Okay.
Because that's it's better to get a little bit sick from the thing than to get the whole thing.
I know.
But if you had asked me a couple months ago, I would have been like, I don't know. Like,
right.
So it made me, there's something about being in the ER that makes you make a little bit of peace with big medicine. I'll tell you that.
Maybe
not insurance stuff, but it makes you be like, okay,
the insurance part.
These people these doctors do know what they're talking. Like, because I'm looking at a doctor, like it was like the head of pulmonology, the lung department. Mm-hmm. He's like coming in and he's talking. And I'm like just thinking of all the people I swipe through that are like, I use gelatin instead of Botox, and that's why I don't have to get the vaccine. And you're like, all right, like I hear you, I get that, but like.
Yeah.
there's a difference when someone does have a medical backing. Doesn't necessarily mean, they know more about everything, but I'm into listening to them in a way that I hadn't been. I'll say that for myself.
No, I had that similar experience. I had something and I tested negative for everything except for RSV, which made no sense.
What is RSV?
It's like a lung thing.
Oh,
It kills babies.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but if you're, it kills old people and babies.
Right.
But if you're not one of those, you're going to be okay.
Right.
But I couldn't stop throwing up. I had a migraine and I was so dehydrated day three because I couldn't, nothing would stay down. Like water would just,
it's like food poisoning.
I don't know what it, but that was the weird thing. It like wasn't, it was like many days of just like not being able to have any water. So I peed and it was brown.
Oh God.
So I went to the ER and then they thought it was meningitis, which can kill you in like 24 hours.
Jesus Christ.
So they were like, we got to do a spinal tap. Yeah. So I'm in like the dirty dumps of Beth Israel, which is now gone. The
dirty dumps of it.
Literally, it's gone. It was such a bad hospital.
Really?
They closed it down.
I didn't know that.
Right before they closed, I made it in.
Wow. And why'd you go there? Is that where you go?
I just was a few blocks away.
Fuck.
I just like moseyed over. And they were like, we got to do it now because we got to know how to treat her. And so they're jabbing me in the back. And it's like this hot intern. And I was like, you're so hot that I'm going to let this happen. But wow, that doesn't feel good.
What is a spinal tap? I know it's like a big needle. I know that.
Huge needle. And it goes into your spinal cord. And they try to get fluid out of your spinal cord.
And are you knocked out?
No, I'm just mentally not there because I'm so sick.
Right.
My sister's there and she is green in the face. At one point I go, is that water? And she goes, that is not water. It was just blood dripping down my back. Yeah, but they numbed me first.
Okay.
They did numb the area.
Okay.
But I was so dehydrated. They were like, they did it a few times. And
did you
like,
get the guy's number?
I wish.
Damn it.
I Googled him after. I Googled like all the doctors. I scanned through. And what's really funny is before he did the spinal tap, he got my urine sample and it was, it looked like a shit.
You're like, I don't usually pee like that though.
But then I handed it to him and I was like,
this is why you need to get drinks with me because I need to get some more fluid. I'm parched.
At that point, I was like, there's no way I can hit on this man after handing
that him. Would be a real, when people, that would be a real.
Yeah, it was tough.
But you'd have to be real charming in the interim so between those.
I will never know.
Damn.
Never know. It is tragic.
Was he able to, were they able to get the spinal fluid?
No, they gave up.
Fuck.
And then my toes were tingly for months after. And I'm like, I could have like been paralyzed.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you glad that you got the spinal tap or do you think they didn't know what they were doing?
Well, what's crazy is I've been watching The Pit. And there's an episode.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but yes.
Don't.
Okay, I know. I know it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't.
Why? Because do they make mistakes in there?
A lot of medical things. Like I was ripping a Zen once watching it, and I was like, I gotta spit this out. I'm like watching someone get their heart like you know removed.
Yes.
Like it just makes you think about your own body.
Totally.
And, like, you're like yeah.
And when you are so freaking vulnerable. Like yeah. I know someone who at the hospital the doctor gave them the wrong medicine for something, and it was catastrophic.
Yeah.
And then they ended up actually, thank God, being okay. But like, it's like you're so vulnerable.
It's crazy.
And you don't know.
Watching the show will make you even more scared about that. But what was crazy, there was an episode about a spinal tap, and the parents were like, do not do that. That's unsafe. And I'm watching it like, my sister and I were like
oh, what? That?
Yeah. I was like, they didn't even make it seem like it was going to be an issue. And they're like, we will not allow this to happen. And they were like, well, we can't treat properly without knowing if it's meningitis or not. And they're like, don't do that to our son. And this kid's like dying. And I'm like, wow, they're literally going to let their son die over a spinal tap. But I was like, oh, we should have been more cautious.
Right. Maybe we didn't actually know all that it was.
And now to this day, I will not Google it. I don't want to know because that's how they do epidurals.
Right.
So I'm like, if everyone have a kid, I don't really want to know.
They give you a giant needle in the lower back.
Yeah.
I think I had one of those things when I was a little kid.
Oh, really?
I remember like something, my mom saying I had one of those things, but I have no record. I'd never been in the, I'd never broken anything. Thank really? Fucking God.
Yeah, no, same.
So this is my first time. I'd only been in the ER for if I'd been like super. I think I've been in there twice. Once because I was super hammered, and one because I was super stoned.
Oh, really?
So I've never been
I
in there sober.
Your story. You told it on bonding.
Yeah, I called the cops on myself.
The
algorithm of life is messing me up. And then I was in there once because I was really drunk. But I've never been in there sober.
That's hilarious.
And it's quite a sobering place.
It is
because there people are in all different states.
It's
lots
terrifying.
Of different languages are happening, which is a beautiful, man, the hospital was killing it with that. They had translate, all people
Where'd
were speaking,
go?
NYU Langone. People speaking Mandarin and French and English and Spanish and boom, 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 boom.
It's like all the smartest people in one place.
Wow.
Yeah.
And boy, were they gay friendly.
Yeah.
I'm just like sitting there and they come over and they're like, Karen, she, her, they, them, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, like every single one. And I was like, she, her's fine. But like every single person would come over and be like, are they comfortable? Are they talking to like, they were just like whipping, they were just slapping.
Media trained.
They were media trained. Like, and I'd be like, oh, like, I'm Emma, like, this is my girlfriend. They'd be like, great, like, love to have you, that your partner's here. Like, boom, boom, boom. No.
I love that.
Discomfort. They were like nothing. Like not, they were like looking at me right now, like your partner. And I was like, oh, they were so comfortable. It made me, it did work. It made me comfortable.
You're like, wherever you need a needle, please.
Yeah. Jab me. Yeah. I feel like the head of something at NYU Langone is like a flaming homosexual that's like a ruthless bitch and is like,
You better treat they, them right.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Cause I was like, they are so gay friendly over there that there must be some like,
just or like, they were sued.
So, or that, like something happened. Yeah. Like there's no reason to be that gay friendly unless so like something went down. Yeah. But like I noticed it, like it was from every single staff member was like purely like, okay, like, you know, pronouns, like I'm da 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 da, like just like quick, not to, and like in their training, they must have been like, don't be weird about it. Yeah. Like, don't be weird about it. You know what I mean?
That's also amazing because they are, they're there to save your life.
Totally.
But they also have this, you know.
Yep.
All of the tools and the manners, and that's amazing.
And it wasn't like they weren't like making it like a thing where I was like, well, they're making it a thing.
Yeah.
But I just started clocking to it. Right. I was like, well, every single person here is so like on it with every single thing.
That's awesome. You got to write them a Yelp review.
I did. I love writing a good Yelp review. I save it up for then when I have a bad Yelp review. I'm like, you're about to get fucked right now.
Yeah, yeah. And look at my page.
Look at my page. Nice. I'm fucking. That's exactly. Do you do that? Because I do that.
I only do it in extreme cases.
Okay.
Really. So, but I love when I get a good service. I really want to make sure. But if it's really bad and I feel deeply wronged, I have to let. I have to save the others. It's an act of selflessness.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And I truly do bank on that where I'm like, oh yeah, go to my page as you'll see.
Mm-hmm. One time though, I left a really nasty review on a hotel that was a total scam. It was a motel. It was horrible. It smelled like bleach. There was a murder scene in there. And I actually changed my name on my Yelp.
Because you were scared because they were going to come after you.
Yeah. And then I forgot about my Yelp. And then it made this, it just, the whole thing got sad. I was like, this isn't,
Did it have
like TORIP?
Oh, yes.
I was like, it just ruined everything for me. And then I went back, deleted that bad review, made it mine again.
Did they comment on that review?
I can't remember.
They weren't like, remember that murder scene?
I was pretty upset about the whole situation. I don't,
Bad hotel, scary hotel, fuck you up.
Fuck you up.
Fuck you up.
You don't feel safe. There was like ammonium smell in the AC coming in. I was like,
that's not good.
I will die if I sleep.
This is not, this cannot be my last day.
It was really brutal. Anchor in West, fucking.
I feel like I've stayed. Is that a chain I've stayed at Anchor in? I think before
Florida.
And you just, if there's like an eeriness to it where you're like, people are like traded in here. Like you're like, what's that sex trafficking? See something, say something line. Cause I'm getting a vibe.
And I've told, it's like after being on tour, you get used to some bad.
Sure.
But this was
really scary. Bad. I stayed in one of those once where I remember I like took a chair and like put it up against the door. And I think I didn't end up staying there. Like, I think I remember like laying in bed and it was like, it was like right near a highway and I was like, I gotta
get
out. I'm gonna go to a different hotel. Yeah. I can't do this. Yeah. And my bar was like pretty low for that too.
Yeah.
But now I'll try to like,
yeah.
You know, you wanna get like good sleep and stuff.
Yeah. You gotta fucking rake to keep up.
So you gotta keep my metrics aren't even that good considering how closely I monitor stuff.
Interesting.
Just watching it be like consistently mediocre, but what are you gonna do
compared to what, you know what I mean, like,
right,
it's your stats against you
with the sleep stuff though. If when you go to bed late they ding you, but I'm like, what about people that work at night?
I was gonna say, you're at the comedy
if I'm doing shows late at night, and then I'll still get the 8 hours of sleep, but I'll go to sleep from like 2 to 10 or whatever it'll be, but they do not like that.
I bet. Are you on the late shows at the Cellar?
Not recently. In the past like year or two I've been on like earlier ones, but okay. So say I'm done by like 10, then I'll be in bed by like 11, but then when I'm on the road I'll be like super jazzed up because I've been on stage for like
two
shows for 2 hours, so I'm like buzzing.
That's such a long time.
It's a lot of like, you're like, and then I get excited like meeting people. It's like, it's like exciting.
Totally.
They're playing music in there and all that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, there are people that go out dancing until like four, my girlfriend goes out dancing until like 4 a.m.
Wow.
I know.
I love that.
She's out living.
I love that.
I haven't done that couldn't
pay me.
Does
she come to your shows? Does she come and tour with you?
Not really, not much. Okay. I mean, she works all the time, and then also, I mean, maybe if I had like something really new she'd want to come see, but she's seen me quite a few times.
Got it. But you are always running new stuff. I feel like you're always cooking on something.
Yeah, I'll usually run. Although, you know what? Recently, I don't like running stuff by her because she works in advertising, so she's getting pitched stuff all the time. And she's like,
filtering it through like a commercial lens.
She's been doing that now so intensely for a couple years. Like, I'll pitch jokes and like she'll just be like, not original, not this, too wordy. And I'm like, damn, I just want to see if the idea was good.
Yeah.
Whereas, but that's as she's moved up in advertising, she's gotten much harsher on the feedback on the jokes. Like, it used to be, she'd be like, I hear you do it on stage. And I'm like, okay. But now she'd be like, it's not original. But I tricked her.
Okay.
I tricked her. I told her a joke from someone else's special that was like the standout joke. It was like quoted and stuff. And it was funny. It was a good joke. Yeah. I told her that joke. I was like, hey, what do you think of this? And she was like, I told her someone else did it. I was like, this is someone else's joke. But I didn't say it was a standout of their special. She goes, okay. She's like, I hope it's Adrian Appalucci's, because that's Adrian Appalucci's joke. And I was like, no, it's not. And I was like, and they didn't take it. They reworded it. And she goes, yeah, but Adrian's like covered that joke before. And then she's like, knows too much comedy and too much stuff. And I was like, this is a different joke. I was like, I know what you're referring to. Mm. But I was like, if you start looking at things like that, no one's ever going to say it. She's cutting things down. She's seen too much comedy and she's too good at words now. So she's like, that's not original. That's not original. That's not original. I'm like, I was like, I gotcha. It's a standout joke from this person's special. And she goes, well, they took it from Adrian. And I was like,
it is scary how it does feel like everything's so saturated and how you have an original thought.
Totally. And I'm like, what are you referring? And then she like pulled up. I'm like, I see what you're saying. But I tricked my mom with that once too. I told her one of Seinfeld's most famous jokes. And she said, I don't get it. And I went, aha, you're not good at gauging stuff. Because that's one of his most famous jokes. And she goes, well, I don't get him. And that's good. So you're wrong. You're wrong. It's subjective.
Yeah. I mean, it all.
How are you running stuff out now? Do you try to just workshop it at like...
I try to do something that made me laugh in like real life.
That's cool.
That's a great idea.
Thank you. That's a great idea.
Recent one was, I was at coffee with a friend and she was trying to set me up with this guy and she was talking about him and I was like, is he Republican? Just the way she was describing him. And she goes, he's rich.
Ah, yeah.
And that made me
That's funny.
Over laughing. I was like, I got to say that on stage. And I just kind of say it verbatim. I'm trying to like, then I added like, you got to ignore the elephant in the room sometimes.
Right.
Like I'm trying to quit my day job. So then it starts to build. But like, that's kind of how my writing has been lately where it's like, what has made me laugh
in person?
And my own personal experience so that no one else can be like, that's not original.
Oh my God, I know. I love having that to fall back on because I go, that happened. That happened. Yeah, totally.
So yeah, that's kind of been my go-to.
It gets frustrating when you can't get something funny from real life, especially if it's something, my sister's really sarcastic and there's things she says that'll make me laugh and then I won't be able to get it into a joke and I want to be like, but it was funny when she said it.
You had to be there.
Yeah. The audience is just looking at you like, well, we're here now and we paid, so figure it out. And you're like,
totally. Damn. I know. Is the cellar still fun and exciting every time, or like?
I would say it's still exciting.
Yeah.
It's just exciting.
Yeah.
Fun, I would say. I feel like with fun, it depends 100% on
audience.
Where you're at as a person, not on the audience. There is always going to be good. And I like because they have, you know, like they've like waited in line. They've got they know about comedy. They're excited. So like they're there for. I'm very hesitant to like. Blame an audience ever too.
That's,
I mean,
also a true professional, so thank you. I need to remind myself of that.
I've been places where the audience didn't speak English. Mm-hmm. That's tough. Like I was somewhere in LA once and everyone just spoke Egyptian.
Niche.
And you know, that's tough.
Yeah.
And I was like frantically messaging the other comics on the show because someone told me, they're like, everyone speaks Egyptian, like do what you can. And I was like, thank you for telling me, because I saw the person on stage was like having like a breakdown because no one told them that.
Got it.
So like I like messaged a few comics like just a heads up, like it and I was glad to do that, because if you don't know that and you're just looking out and you're like, what's going on? But it's still exciting just because it's exciting to like be around that like energy and New York, and the audience is excited.
I love hearing that because you've been there for what, 8-9
probably years? 8 or 9 years. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Long time.
And it's, I love hearing that it's still exciting and the energy is still, that's like my dream, you know. And it's like
it
so
does
cool
still
that,
feel exciting.
Yeah, I love
but
that.
Comedy is so like exciting And then the fun, I think, depends on, yeah, because you could have fun anywhere. Like, any show can be fun if you're having fun inside. Or any show can not be fun. Like, with anything in life, like, if, like, you feel bad, then it's not going to be fun.
That's so true.
It's so much about the attitude. Like, I'm so aware of, like, people, someone's, like, attitude, too. If someone's like, this sucks, that sucks. I'm that person sometimes, too.
Yeah. We all can
be.
Yeah.
So then you got to be like, okay, let me rephrase.
I've been trying to work on it. So this today at work that happened to me, actually, where my computer ports don't work anymore for a second screen.
Those fucking things. The things where you plug stuff in.
Yeah, my second screen just stopped working.
Yep.
And
I'm always having problems with those things.
So I immediately buy an HDMI cord on Amazon because I'm like, it's obviously the cord.
Right.
I get to work, plug it in, doesn't work. So I go to IT and they go, we've never seen this before. They try everything. I was there for an hour and a half. So I get back to my desk. I'm dead. I am so sad. I'm like, I'm just going to jump out the window. How am I going to do my day job? They said that I'm not qualified for a new computer because it still technically works. And I have to do all this like Excel docs. And I just sat there and I started complaining. And then I literally said, just kidding. Because like my review's coming up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I go, right. You're letting me catch yourself. Oh, shit. Yeah, totally.
My boss is across me. I go, I handle difficulties with ease and positivity.
Yes.
I am grateful for my day job. I love my coworkers. And I just started doing this like puppeteer as a joke, but also like for real. Because I was like, I literally wrote this in my review of like, I handle.
And that's also you want to be around that. Because then someone's going to hear that and be like, let's figure this out.
Right. Yeah, so I had to check
makes
myself.
Makes a big difference.
Because I was about to have the worst day of my life just being
totally.
Like,
totally.
Eh. And I was like, I'm giving myself epilepsy with zooming in and out of things. And I go, just kidding. I am so lucky. This is such a great job.
100%.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Huge.
And then when someone reframes, like, I was talking to Oscar Aiden, we were talking about this new year coming. He's like, let's just focus on the things that we want instead of, like, focusing on something that makes us frustrated. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I was like, oh yeah. Okay. That I'm right there with you. Let's do it.
Yeah, I love that.
Have I stuck to it? I cannot fully say, but it's a good reframe. Good reminder.
Yeah. Honestly, until I started that, it's also January still.
So yeah, like, we got time.
Yeah, we got time, but also it's like the fresh start.
Right.
So don't fuck it up yet.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
And I'm giving myself a pass because on January 3rd, I was in the hospital. So
sorry.
So I'm restarting my year February 1st.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Just fresh start. Yeah. I think there's the SD card on this had 1 hour and 7. I think we got like 3 minutes.
Are you on the road at all coming up?
Great question.
I never know my dates.
I'm headlining a Don't Tell Philly on Saturday.
Awesome. That's going to be really fun.
Thank you so much.
They do such a good job.
It's not like the Don't Tell.
I know what you mean.
Thank you.
They run a bunch of independent shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
so,
like, but it's really, not the taping, but they do like
exactly.
a bunch of shows.
It meant a lot that they reached out for me
absolutely.
To be like the.
Those are great to do.
I'm pumped. Thank you.
Those are great to do because they have good lineups and it's like good people and it's well run.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. And it just was flattering that because every time I don't have something coming up, I'm like, what am I even dealing?
Totally.
So that'll be nice. And then Sarah Pop-Tarts. Do you know Sarah Huntington?
Yes.
Love her. She's roommates with Sarah, Mary Santora.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. She's really funny. I met her a bunch of times. She's really funny. Yes.
She's doing a few mic drops.
Awesome.
She invited me.
Great.
So I'm trying to find money to do the flights because they're just one-nighters.
Totally.
Not just, but they are one-nighters.
Yes.
So I'm like, ugh. But I really love her and I think our demographics would align.
For sure.
So I'm like, how do I again, she invited me to Plano and Arizona and San Diego.
Nice.
So I'm trying
the
to
San Diego
make
one
work.
Is great. I haven't been to the other ones.
San Diego is definitely like, I'm like, if I can't afford the other ones.
Do what you can.
Exactly. So I'm trying to join her on that. And then hopefully I can pop in, you know, on with some other people's, maybe jump on with Troy with some time. Like, who knows?
Are you doing Broadway still?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. You just need some place in the city where you can be getting up regularly.
And Greenwich I manage on Tuesday nights.
Great.
So I'm there every Tuesday.
Perfect. Just anything where it's like a regular thing that you don't have to think about is.
That's what keeps me like, you can't quit now.
Can't quit. Got to go back in on Tuesday.
Exactly.
Totally.
It really holds me. Yeah. I'm in the game. So I don't want to ever leave the game. But so.
I have like really good memories of Greenwich.
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. And the people that work there made it fun.
Yeah. No, honestly, the Tuesday night vibe is incredible. Usama, he doesn't really come in as much because he's at the cellar now, but he would always come in and say the same thing. He's like, you know, it's really fun here.
Yeah, I don't. I have like good memories of that because it used to be, who booked
Dustin.
It when I did it? Dustin used to book it. And then I'm blanking who the managers were, but the staff always made it like really fun.
It's the best. I'm glad that you had that. And also like you're on tour.
Yeah, starting in March. Starting in March.
Hell yeah. Where are you most excited to go?
I'm excited to go to the mic drop in Arizona because I've never been to that. Mm-hmm. And I did the other mic drop. I'm excited to go to New Mexico because I went to New Mexico one time. And I think it was for a one nighter, so I'm excited to like go and be there for like a weekend. Mm-hmm. I like anything that's like the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I love the desert air. I like that like dry heat. And then I'm gonna be doing some show in Maine. I haven't done a show in Portland in a long time. It's like starting halfway through March, April, May, June. I'm like just gone a bunch. So
hell yeah.
I haven't been like out on the road in that capacity for a while too, where it's like every weekend.
Oh, it's
so,
every weekend.
So yeah. I'm gonna get my immune system up and cranking.
Are you coming back to the city in between everyone?
Yeah, I'll come back in between.
Okay, because it's nice to come settle, but it's also like all over again, back to the airport.
Totally. But. Yeah, the hard part isn't leaving. I always think it's like coming back and you're like, fuck, gotta go to the grocery store, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. And then will you have spots in the city in between, or is it mostly just like rest?
Yeah, but I'm trying. Yes, but now I'm going to try to make it more so. I'm trying to like buffer it so I do like will like rest more because I used to not do that, and now I'm trying to like be better about
that. I like that.
Touring
will really take it out of you.
It really will.
You will. I mean, I gained a lot of weight.
It's so hard.
Detroit. Yeah, it's really hard.
It's really. You get hungry, you're in an airport. What are you going to do? You have a ring day.
Exactly. And then the club's like, what can we get you?
Right.
You're like, nuggets.
Right.
Nuggets.
They always have nuggets. And once you have one nugget,
club
it's
nuggets,
over.
If they're good.
Oh, I've never had a bad one. Mm. I've never had a bad one. They're going to make me depressed 9 out of 10 times, but I've never had a bad one. They're delicious.
They really
and even
are.
The fucking club pizza, which is all weird looking. It looks like the pizza they used to have in the lunchroom, like the cafeteria pizza kind of sometimes. But it's real good.
And also, after I get off stage, like I got some kind of like hide.
Totally.
And it shoves me in my face.
Totally.
Okay. Yeah, that could just cut off because my SD card only had an hour and 7 minutes on it, which I thought was, you know, more than enough time. I had to keep these a little shorter. I like to, you know, my goal with the pod was to only have 30-minute episodes. But then I realized you get into the good stuff like 30 minutes in and then you really hit the flow. So I know this isn't like Joe Rogan, not that it ever would be, but like his episodes are like 4 hours long. And I was always like, I would never do that. A, because no one would listen, but B, because that's just like a long time and we have no attention spans. But anyways, the point of me getting back on here is to say thank you for listening to that episode. Sorry about the cutoff. Emma is on tour. Please check her out. She is so funny. I know I said on the pod, but she really is one of my favorite comedians ever. So please watch or follow her on Instagram, Emma Willman. I think it's I Am Emma Willman. And follow or check out her tour dates. She's all over the country. And yeah, thank you for listening. Please comment if you made it to the end. Just kind of makes me feel like somebody cares. And that's it. Okay, love you. Bye.